Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah, it was very much healing some of the trauma of being an actor, I think.
Yeah.
And the rejection and just the difficulty of keeping your life grounded. I found it was really grounding me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, I was straddling these two career paths. And for me, that really brought up quite an identity crisis.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Emmeline Mondo, and this is Mondo Moments.
Life is made up of millions of tiny moments. I believe that one of our tasks as humans is to be present for as many of them as possible. When you reflect on the unforgettable events or incredible memories in your life, zoom in and there will be these little moments before or after the event that sit in the heart space. The moment you knew things would never be the same again. The hour you felt the shift. The minute that saved your life or the second that changed it. These are the moments that build movements. Sometimes they are global, and other times it's just the simple first step to change. Join me as I uncover these moments with my inspiring, innovative, and extraordinary guests. Today, I am joined by the beautiful soul that is Shan Goff. She is an actor, writer, and yoga practitioner. She's been teaching yoga for over 7 years and practicing for 12.
Shan is currently a lead teacher at Hot Pod Yoga, working on teacher trainings in studio and online. As an actor, Shan has worked across TV, film and theatre and appeared in Idris Elba's TV comedy In the Long Run. She also wrote and starred in Stakeout alongside Imogen Stubbs, and she is currently developing a TV comedy series. I met Shan after a Black Lives Matter protest, and I immediately got a sense of her inquisitive and calm way of being. Then when I discovered she was an actor and yoga teacher, I knew that we would have lots to talk about. Balancing two careers that you love, working on a daily spiritual practice, being anti-racist, I wanted to know how it was going. Shan, how is it going and how are you? Thank you for joining me.
Hello. Thank you so much. That was so surreal to hear that little bio about me. And everything you were saying about, you know, these moments that sit in your heart space, for me, that was a moment because I've been listening to your podcast. So to hear it from the inside, as opposed to hearing it as a listener, was surreal and beautiful. Thank you so much. Such an honor to be a guest for you today.
Well, thank you for listening as well. You've been such a beautiful supporter, and I really I appreciate it so much. So thank you so much. I'm thinking about where to begin today. Just before we were on air, you talked about starting with a meditation. So I might start with your practices and how that's sort of come into your life and changed it. So you've had your yoga practice for quite some time. What is your morning routine like? And as a yoga teacher, do you practice yoga every morning?
Well, that's a good question. In the wider sense of yoga, so if we think about the eight-limbed path, then yes, I would say I probably do practice yoga every day. Mm. In terms of a dynamic asana practice, I absolutely do not practice every day. And that used to be something I felt really guilty about. And for me, I think your practice must be a place for you to really just come home to yourself, whatever that means. So for some people, that's movement. Movement is a really important part of their connection to self. And for me, it's really been finding stillness, finding a daily meditation practice. And most of the time that's sitting. And the pandemic has meant that I've gone from probably sitting 10 minutes every morning to half an hour every morning now, which is kind of amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And has really enriched my life over the last year. However, you know, it's important to say that meditation isn't easy for everybody, and it's a practice, and it comes with time, and it's taken me a long time to get here. But now it really is my medicine. It's the most sort of important part of my day in a way. And it really shapes the way my day shows up.
Oh, you get to a place where you notice the slight edge, and sometimes it's not slight, to your day when you don't just make space for even if it's just 10 minutes, right? It's I think the benefits, once you live with them for some time, are something that you realize it's just so worth creating that bit of space to meet yourself. I love that you also specified, you know, the eight limbs and gave that broader look into the practice, because I think quite often when you start the practice, as you said, like early on, you kind of can feel guilty for not doing it every single day. And yeah, I love the importance of just balancing out what that looks like to you, and knowing that practice off the mat falls into so many different kinds of practices.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's also worth saying that when I first came to yoga, I found it extremely transformational for me and therapeutic. But then when I first became a teacher, it suddenly felt like there was a lot of pressure on my practice to be a certain way, and it became a way to fall back into sort of negative control or ways of self-harming, essentially. So the funny thing about yoga practice is it really is about that self-inquiry, you know. It's not enough just to practice asana and think that that's where you are, like that you're practicing yoga. There is many facets to the practice. And but at the same time, you must be kind to yourself on that journey, because if you were kind of attracted to yoga because of the gymnastics of it, then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's definitely nothing wrong with that. It is what it is at the end of the day, and that does bring people to the practice. But hopefully they're staying because there's something more that they're tapping into.
Discovering, yeah. What led you to decide to do your own teacher training?
It's really bizarre, actually.
tell me.
I was in Gimmelwald. I was at the cabin of...
Sorry, what's is Gimmelwald? Where's that?
Gimmelwald's in Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
It's basically up a mountain.
Right, okay.
At a cabin in Gimmelwald, and
gorgeous.
Halfway up this mountain. It was incredible, and it was boiling hot summer.
Yeah.
And I was dating a guy at the time, and we were there because this was where his parents live.
Right.
And we broke up halfway up this mountain, and I was kind of stuck there with him and his parents.
Oh,
it was quite traumatic.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that coming. Okay, yeah.
Well, this is the real story.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting, and I've always had a really funny thing with mountains, where I've always found that they kind of speak to me. I'm like, I'm completely nuts.
Oh, no, but, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I was sat looking out of the window, staring at this mountain, And I had this very clear thought, this very sort of crystal clear thought, go and do yoga teacher training. And 6 months later, I did.
Wow.
That was it. Like, and actually, I was so unprepared, like to an embarrassing level. I'd been practicing yoga, but not consistently enough
because
I was an actor living in London. Very much, I was teaching children singing lessons and doing lots of fringe theatre that was unpaid and basically, you know, scratching a living. And I went to my local studio and I do, you know, weekly classes, but that was pretty much all I could afford. And I did a bit of sun salutations at home and I did, had a bit of a home practice because I learned that at drama school.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I was so unprepared for my training. It was embarrassing. The word almost doesn't need to be in there. It was very embarrassing. And then I realized how much work I had to do, you know, and that's fine. I think sometimes, you know, you just jump in, don't you? And then, so it took me a while after my training to really find my feet as a teacher, but that was okay. It was the time I needed.
Yeah. So did you, once you finished your training, I guess it's 200 hour first, right? Did you look for a studio to begin doing the classes or did you take some time off, or did you just go straight in?
I was working at this it was called Gymboree.
Anyway, yeah, oh, I've heard
actors
of that.
Yeah, might know it. Yeah. It's a place where actors go to sing to small children.
Yeah.
It was my boss Cleo, who was just the most wonderful woman in the entire world. She very kindly let me use the space because it was completely unused after hours, and so I'd move all this sort of gym equipment, all these climbing frames and stuff on my own, hoover the space, and I would do community classes. So I think they were about £5, and I just put it on Facebook and got random sort of, you know, friends, and then friends of friends, and then friends of friends of friends, and it grew, and it was the most amazing class I've ever taught, I think. And actually everything I did came from that one class. So I, you know, I've got privates who I still teach now who were coming to that class 7 years ago in Clapham.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, there's an amazing loyalty that comes with, like, when you find that teacher that you feel connected to, you know, you'll follow them anywhere.
Yeah, totally. I'm really like that. So when you were doing these classes, were you also working as an actor? Were you balancing both, and were you thinking, I'd rather do this, or this is serving me in this moment because I needed to meet myself here?
Well, yeah, it was very much healing some of the trauma of being an actor, I think.
Yeah.
And the rejection and just the difficulty of keeping your life grounded. I found it was really grounding me. But at the same time, you know, I was straddling these two career paths, and for me that really brought up quite an identity crisis, where I was suddenly like, I'm these two people, I'm this actor and I'm this yoga teacher, and I didn't really know how to be me. It was like, I'm these two people, and you know, I'm a very airy person, so I'm quite good at kind of like adapting and being, and I think it's to do with my parenting as well, you know. I've sort of found that I had to really adapt to kind of cope with my childhood situation. So, you know, you become very adaptable. But then you're like, but who am I? You know, who am I?
and we're in an industry which, in an industry where I think people are often asking you not just what are you doing now, what are you in next, but also there's so much pressure to define yourself. And like moving through wellness, you know, and I'm speaking from experience, so I want to lean into it, but bouncing between like wellness and then the entertainment industry, is also like two different egos. And it's like in one space, like you need to be very aware of it, and there's lots of books that tell you to like lose it. And then in another space, people are leading with it in a really extreme way. And, you know, you want to find your humility in that. So The identity crisis in between those two worlds is actually, I think it's very, very real and really tricky for quite a few people.
Yeah. And added to that, you know, where I really sit, I think, in entertainment is comedy, or at least where I'd like to sit. And I've done quite a bit of comedy. But it's quite, I think the way in which you're required to show up in those two different guises is quite different.
Yeah.
So like with yoga, it's like people really want the authenticity. And I have that, you know, it's certainly not, I'm certainly not pretending to be something, but it's that you're really putting on different hats. And then the comedy hat, it's like no holds barred, you know, kind of allowing yourself to be ridiculous or whatever, you know, or send things up. So yeah, it's quite an interesting one. But I think for me, I tend to be quite philosophical in the way that I think, looking back at it now, or looking at it now, because I still feel kind of within that. I think it's for me, it's about saying, okay, well, what have I learned? You know, what can that produce, or what can I see from that that's kind of that's fun or can help me, you know? Because I think at the end of the day, we're all having to be different people sometimes in different situations, and it's a way of exploring who you are, isn't it? It's a way of trying on different things,
different hats,
but I think when you get into your 30s, it becomes more set, whereas in your 20s it's quite easy to still be exploring. And then I think when you get into your 30s, there's this part of you that thinks, oh, I should probably get a mortgage. I need to professionalize myself, and that's been quite intense for me.
I know that's like fear of from the mortgage to like the career to what have I built? What did I become? What became of me?
Yeah.
Like reflecting. And then, you know, I mean, that those kind of feelings in a pandemic year have been pretty challenging, because you do really have that magnifying glass on like all the choices that you've made, and thinking about it way more than we would on any given day. This discovering selves of like, discovering different parts of you and being between two worlds. I'm curious about the decision to lean into yoga and get to the point of now a teacher trainer. Mm-hmm. Did you have moments when you were deciding on, you know, courses and deepening your practice? Were you like, did you ever have this fear of, oh gosh, am I like, is this all I am now? Or were you able to override that? Because that's a fear that I sometimes have when I'm doing something completely different.
No, I haven't managed to override it.
No.
It's deeply there within me, and I think the difficulty with the acting industry is that you feel like you're on the clock, or at least I do. And I sort of kept moving that goalpost. So, you know, when I turned 30, I was like, I'm turning 30. What does that mean? You know, and it's almost like it's very stifling, because actually you can be an actor forever, but you sort of feel like you need to have reached a certain level of something, you know, to feel validated as an artist. And I think I have a really wonderful friend who, she's an opera singer, and we met up on Sunday, and we did some trance dance in the park.
Love it.
Just for fun. And she was talking, she's also a yoga teacher, and you know, a few years ago she was making 90% of her income from yoga, 10% from opera.
Wow.
And she made a goal that in 4 years' time she was going to shift that, so that it would be the other way around, 90% from opera, 10% from yoga.
Wow.
And she did it in 6 months, because she kind of set that goal, and she's she's really amazing. Yeah, she's but she really fixed herself on that, and she knew that was exactly what she wanted, and she kind of went for it, which I think is really brave. And so I think for me, I was always very fearful that, like, you know, acting's very uncertain, and what if I go, you know, full throttle into that, and then I've got, you know, I drop all the yoga stuff and it never, you know, it's just a weird thing where you, it's basically poverty consciousness.
And, yeah.
And, you know, it's, and you start, have to start to, it's, you have to examine your belief systems mm-hmm. that are stopping you from believing that you can make money out of acting. But then when you look at acting as an industry, mm-hmm. when you talk to anybody on the street and they say you're an actor,
yeah,
you know, they do the like sympathetic head bob or like the lean where they're like, or they're like, have you been in anything lately? Or yeah. like this year, for example, do not tell anyone you're an actor year, because they're like, oh no, it's been really tough, hasn't it? You're like, shut up.
I know.
All of that messaging, it goes in.
It does.
It goes into your psyche.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're a fearful person and you don't have enough self-belief, it will erode your self-belief and your confidence.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. And so for me, it's been about doing a lot of work, and I've been very fortunate this year to connect with an amazing therapist.
Mm.
And we've been doing a lot of work on these two selves.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in my heart chakra at the moment.
Oh.
Sounds nuts. But there's, you know, there's the actor and the yoga teacher. And what we realized was that yoga teacher had very much taken over and was sort of squashing the actor side.
Mm.
And really, it's about integration.
It really
and,
is.
You know, for anyone listening who is not an actor or a yoga teacher or can't kind of connect with these ideas, it's not really about that at all. It's about these different aspects of self, right? And being able to integrate them, and saying that if you've judged one of those sides, so if you've decided that the actor's never going to make any money,
mm.
then you're just squashing that side of yourself.
Yeah.
Which can inform everything else that you do. So the integration process is about just injecting more creativity and like, who is that self and what can that self be and how can that self have a voice within this realm? And, you know, I really like, there's a yoga teacher called Alex Alder. I don't know if you know her.
Yeah.
She's an actress. And I mean, she's a real clown.
And she's an actress as well. I didn't know that yet.
Yeah. So she's a yoga teacher and actress. She's done quite a lot of stuff in America. And I've kind of been following her because she does that quite well, as in she's not apologizing for being one or the other. She's just both.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of, yeah, there's no apology. Like, her Instagram, the way she shows up online is very like, this is who I am. And
yeah,
that's kind of where I want to get to, where it's like, no, mm-hmm. I can be both. I can very much be both and myself as well.
Right.
Yeah. But it's a process.
I mean, that was so beautifully put. And I love that you sort of explained that it doesn't, the titles in a way don't matter, you know, whether it's yoga teacher, actor, in some cases like mom, CEO, you know, these aspects of self that we're taught or believe need to feel very different, or in order for one to be better, the other has to be suppressed, is a sort of process of unlearning that we need to get into, and as you said, integrate.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything that you do is informed by, you know, that knowing and that confidence. But as you said, it is really challenging, and it's a process and something that we need to give ourselves space and time to just accept that it takes time. You know, there's some processes that you can't rush. Yeah. And then the last thing I'd say is that one of the things that I observed, sort of making a decision to listen to the storyteller self, is that I had kind of got into a pattern where I was hiding in wellness and well-being. And so I thought, this is safe. This place will make me feel good. I can be accepted here. And then I was just committed to not really showing up in the other self. So I think that's another bit that's very easy to do, like hiding in wellness.
Absolutely. I mean, but it's a seemingly safe space, you know, like people are very nice, people are very open, people are generally self-aware. I mean, I'm very much generalizing, whereas sometimes the performance industry, although I've met so many wonderful people, and again, I don't want to generalize, but it can feel quite competitive. And if you're feeling fatigued from that, then it can be, you know, the wellness space can be somewhere to rest for a while. But,
yeah. But
you know, all of these spaces are essentially also part of the macrocosm, right? So they don't offer complete kind of respite from the world. And I think that's what you have to sort of understand, that any space is gonna be subject to the same things we see in the world, right? Because we're all part of it and we're all connected. But I think this thing of integration, this process is part of the yoga process, and it's part of decolonizing as far as I kind of see it. You know, my knowledge of that at this moment, I'm sure it will improve down the line. But you know, where I am now on my understanding and learning of this is, you know, these things, they happen on all layers of the body. And so the conditioning that we've experienced out in the world, we kind of, you know, reflect that inwards and condition ourselves that way too. And I think being able to show up in your fullness is part of a process of accepting others in their fullness, you know, and not needing to categorize human beings, not needing to be. And I think, you know, unfortunately, spaces like Instagram, they can be great and they can be very informative, but they're also asking you to be a brand, you know, they're asking you to show up in a way that is not full and is not, they're asking you to kind of package yourself in a way that's going to be sellable or likable to others. And if you deviate from that brand, it's seemingly like it doesn't feel like you get the response as to when you kind of show up on brand. It's so odd. I mean, not that I've ever shown up on brand, but I don't even know what that looks like, but you know what I mean? It's like,
I really know what you mean.
It's so complicated, isn't it? Because, and actually my friend who I was referring to, the opera singer, she said something very, very wise. And I think where the yoga teacher, actor self or writer self can sometimes get unstuck is that with yoga teaching, there's an instant gratification to that job. So I go, I teach the class, I immediately, you know, there's an exchange of energy that feels very pure because it's in the moment.
Yeah.
And I walk away with some money in my back pocket, you know, whereas with acting and writing, it's a long-term game. So there's no instant gratification. So a way to kind of mitigate this is to think, okay, I'm going to do one thing every day for my future self. So one thing that's going to manifest next year, for example.
Yeah.
And not just be so focused on that sort of instant gratification process of life. You know, I've been writing something with a writing partner and we've been writing it for a couple of years now. We're pitching it, it's been rejected unfortunately a few times, but we're kind of redrafting it and we're going to give it another shot because it's a good idea, but I think it needs to be repackaged. But you know that the labor goes into writing something for years, you know, and then it gets rejected and you're like, right, well, okay, you know, that was all the work that was unpaid and where do I go next, you know? It's kind of like and you really have to like gear yourself up for another draft or to even contemplate another project while you're also doing other things in your life. So, you know, that's, I think that's where the yoga teacher self gained a lot of power, because that self was getting instant reward and instant, you know, financial stability, whereas the other selves were feeling very impoverished on the sidelines.
Yeah.
But we need both. We need all of ourselves, you know.
We do. And it's funny when you... Well, thank you for sharing that, first of all, because it's a beautiful look at it. And you gave some really good pointers about how to sort of get some peace. I really love that reminder to do something each day for a future self that you may not see, but that you, you know, that you believe in, because it just sort of trains the heart and brain. I think one thing that becomes apparent, though, is when you, if you do stop that thing, that, you know, that creative drive, that writing or that desire to, I don't know, maybe speak text on a stage, be that poetry or being in a play, when you don't use that side of you, it also shows up in other ways. So you definitely do. I mean, I think more and more people will realize that actually discovering the balance in which you can keep that voice alive while being able to do something that sustains you and fulfills you and also makes you happy is just the sort of like balancing, pivoting work that we're all going to grow into. I think many people who have two careers or wear various hats would argue that, yeah, it gets difficult, yes, there are different areas of that are challenging, but they would probably always pick that over a 9 to 5 Monday, Friday, like, this is my life. And not to say that there's anything wrong with that if that suits you, but a lot of us do have so many aspects of us that we want to meet and discover.
There is indeed so much more to discover about Miss Sian Goth. We will go into it in part 2, which will be out next week. And until then, thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying Mondo Moments, please remember to like, share, and subscribe.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.